This episode is brought to you by...
Hey, Billy Bonham here, owner of Pizza Classics, located in downtown Kyle. We've been serving our community since the 90s and proudly support local Hayes athletics. At Pizza Classics, we do things the old school hard way because I think it makes a better product for our customers. Dough is made fresh daily and veggies are always hand cut. We shed our 100% whole milk mozzarella in-house, as well as make our own sauce from scratch. Lastly, we bake on stone. Doing it the right way takes some extra time, but we let our product do the talking. Thanks for your business. I truly appreciate it.
Entertaining shows with content that spreads information and sparks discourse throughout the community. This is the Pearl Media Network.
Welcome to the Kyle Life Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to showcasing what makes Kyle, Texas unique. We interview local business owners, politicians, and talk with everyday residents to further promote our beautiful city. This podcast is brought to you by KyleLife.com and is proudly part of the Pearl Media Network. We thank you for tuning in today. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Hey guys, Joshua here with Kyle Life, and today we're recording from the offices at Simone Financial, located at 1300 Dacey Lane, Suite 230. Joining me for this episode is Bill Simone, a certified financial planner and the managing principal for Simone Financial Group. Bill, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Whenever I have someone who's willing to do small talk with me, I always give them a nod. Thank you so much. That was fun getting to know you and doing small talk on things that kind of was relevant to the podcast, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's context, right? There's nothing like a good background to understand what gets people to where they're at.
Exactly. Yeah. And thankfully, you were too nice to tell me to shut up. So thank you for that.
Well, you promised me beer.
Yes. My secret is out now.
Yes.
People are going to come on the show because they think that I'm going to give them beer. Anyway, Bill, I did mention we are at your office. I love your office.
Thanks.
It's very nice. You're at least... you pretend well, if anything. No, this is a wonderful office. These are new, right?
Brand spanking new. The office, this office complex opened up in March. Last 2 weeks of March, we were the first tenants in the building.
I love that. It is obviously growing because I see cars and whatnot. And there's various industries over here on this side of Kyle.
Absolutely. We've got a couple of psychologists, a couple of counselors. There's a medical billing facility. There's another financial advisor a few doors down from me. Interestingly enough, there is a pinpoint accuracy weather consulting firm.
Like,
in this
like Doppler or
like
some other technology?
Like maybe 10-point GPS, spot on. I'm doing construction on this building, on this corner of this street in this town. Can you tell me what the weather around my building is going to be? And they can tell you literally.
I'm in the wrong business, man. That sounds way more fun than sitting at a computer all day.
Oh, it's amazing. If you go in there, they'll talk to you about it. It's like, oh, how do you do that?
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. Yeah.
So let's start this off by having you tell the audience more about yourself, your professional background, and the history of Simone Financial.
Absolutely. So my name is Bill Simone. I'm a certified financial planner. I've been in this industry for almost 10 years, almost a decade. I'm originally from South Florida. I'm a first generation American. My family is from Haiti, which is interesting. My full legal name is Billy Graham. You know, I shared a little bit about that with you.
Yeah.
Billy Graham Simone, it's actually my name. So,
Put that on your business card.
I don't. People might get confused, especially when they meet me. I got into this business because I didn't really understand finance in the first place. Serving in the military, you get a good basic understanding of how finances work. Mm-hmm. You blow things up, you shoot things, they pay you. You do your job, you deploy, they pay you. You come back and I deployed at my first time at age 19, 20. I was 20 years old and we went to Iraq. I came back with more money in my bank account than I thought God at that point in time. You know, I never had more than
life
three
is good.
Zeros
yeah.
in my account at any one time. Here, I had several more, right? So that was pretty cool. And I did what almost every person in the military that come home from their first deployment would do. Bought a car.
Yes.
Cash. Got a really nice apartment, two bedrooms, I was single. I didn't need the bedroom, but I got one.
Oh, you needed it, buddy.
I needed it, and I furnished the whole thing. And yes, we did take a trip, and I spent a lot of money, and I was buying rounds, right?
Yeah.
Within 6 months, almost to a year, got into a car accident, so I wrecked my car. Fortunately, it wasn't a motorcycle, so I didn't die.
Yes, you are here.
I am here. unfortunately, depending on, you know.
Perspective,
yeah. And I was wondering, what happened to all of my money, right? What happened to this little nest egg that I worked so hard for that I didn't see where that money went, okay? And so getting out, I was in the reserves at this point in time. I went back to school and started concentrating on business and finance. Got my bachelor's degree in business management and went on another deployment and turned things around. And for all of those friends that came back and did the same things that I did the first time, I was in a different position, right? I saved some of that. And I started working with a business broker to understand how businesses transition. Got married, met the love of my life. And, you know, eventually she fell in love with me too.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
Takes some time. and then moving here to Texas to start our family, I wanted to continue that path, right? Really start to hone in and understand how finances work. So I started working for an insurance company, and I was there for about five or six years. And during that time, I started working on my CFP certification, Certified Financial Planner designation. I was one of 11 agents at the time that started the program. I was the only one that actually completed it on time.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. And it took a little bit over a year.
It's like a pat on the back.
It is. It felt good. Every time I walk past my certification, I rub it and I give myself a little bit of a pat and I say, thank you.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be done with school, but obviously you're never done learning.
Never done learning.
And then I decided, you know, that path was very restrictive because it was all products, it was all commissions, it was all sales. At this point, I had gone through a training program that taught me how to give advice, right? And how to actually talk to people about their goals and their aspirations, and then to marry the dollars and cents with that so that now we have a pathway to get there. And it's okay if things change because you can fluctuate up or down. But I now know how to actually bring in different aspects of a person's financial life so that their picture is clearer, right? If you want to retire at 65, I'm not just going to talk to you about an annuity or, you know, a Roth IRA. I'm going to talk to you about what type of lifestyle you're expecting. I'm going to talk to you about what does your cash flow need to look like. Okay. We're going to talk about the first three, the first 5 years, maybe the first 10 years. I mean, if you're young, like I was when I started in this business, talking about retirement means nothing, right? Retirement is forever away.
I'm not even that young and it still means nothing. I'm slightly kidding. We'll talk after this show.
Yeah. Wait till your kids get older. Trust me, retirement's going to mean a lot to you. So here I, you know, if you're a young person, maybe you're thinking starting a family, buying a house. Today's day and age, starting an internet business or a local business, mm-hmm. right? Getting your cash flow in place to make sure that works. So I left that insurance company and broke away and started focusing on providing objective, clear, and concise advice to my clients and then helping them figure out how to do that. So I started Seminae Financial Group. Originally, it was called Seminae Wealth Management in December of 2013. And we are now Kyle's only fully independent, fee-only registered investment advisory firm. I'm the first CFP to operate in Kyle as well.
A lot of pats on the back, man.
It's a big deal.
It is. Yeah.
And I think it offers our city, our citizens, another option, another path that they can take to try to make sure that they get where they want to get without the conflicts that are normally associated with working with advisors.
And it separates you though, because, you're in a pretty saturated market in regards to, like, there's a lot of, specifically those multi-level marketing type firms, but I mean, there is a lot of financial advisors. Is this how you separate yourself from the rest of the pack?
It is. So here's a question. What's the difference between a financial advisor and your banker or your insurance agent or your uncle if your uncle tells you you need to go buy a new car, right? Or your dad if your dad says, son, go start a Roth IRA, or daughter, I need you to put money here, right? Anyone can call themselves a financial advisor, and sometimes the advice is sound. What makes a person a certified financial planner is that actual formal education on how to give and structure advice. Along with that, we're in a day and age when people are going to Google you. They're going to look you up and they're going to want to know what your motivations are, right? And
why go with you?
Why go with you? And if your only value proposition, if your only sales tactic is, hey, I passed a test, that's not really going to cut it.
Not
right?
at all. Yeah.
Hey, I've got the best widget on the block. My pins are shinier than the other guys.
They are shiny.
Yeah, they are nice though. I mean, not these are lie. Some nice pins.
This is an audio only podcast, but if you saw this pin,
look, come into the office. Yeah. I'll give you one. Okay. All right. These are awesome pins, but you know, you have to have a little bit more.
Yeah.
And in today's day and age, being able to say that I can provide conflict free advice and it, everything is structured around the client's goals and objectives really sets me apart. And I feel like it provides a great option or another avenue for those who are looking for it.
And you work, correct me if I'm wrong, you work with a multitude, like you're the target demographic is not like, I mean, it's broad for you, right? Like you
absolutely.
Work with businesses, you work with individuals, you work with families, you work mm-hmm. with single people.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Mean, it's a diverse crowd you've got going, right?
Yes.
So leading me to my next question is, what do you do? Like, how do you convince people that financial planning is for them? Because I'm not going to lie, we've talked about this mm-hmm. off the air. I'm one of those, I think I get grouped in with millennials. You too.
Yeah,
like, you're in
absolutely.
Like, I think we get grouped in with that ugly millennial word. But how do you convince these people that financial planning is for them? Because like you said, it's for a lot of us on the back burner of mm-hmm. priorities.
It absolutely is. And the way that I think about it, rather than trying to convince them that financial planning works for everyone, I share my story, similar to what I just told you, right? People learn as they go, and we understand that having money in the future is important, but how do we actually do that? That's the question, right? If I want to buy a house in 5 years, I know I have to save, but at what interest rate? And then if I am going to buy a house, am I talking 10%, 20%, 3 or 5%, right? Your first financial planner is your HR rep. How do we know this? If you go and you get a full-time job, you walk into your HR department, he's going to give you a benefits package and he's going to say, fill this out. You're going to give it back. There's your financial plan. You've got your insurance. You've got your retirement account or your 401k. You've got your fringe benefits if those are available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, if you work for Uber, you get your gas paid for maybe. Or
right.
if you work for Google, you get a playground. You get different things that you can do there. That's your first financial planner. Now, when you start to expand, you have your kids. Well, maybe we need to start thinking about college. I could just put money into a bank account. I could. But is that really the smartest and the safest place for my kids' funds? Maybe. Maybe not. What if my kids decide not to go to college, right? Millennials nowadays, a lot of millennials talk about not necessarily wanting to own a home. Well, if we want to have more of a nomadic lifestyle, we want to travel. I want to be able to go places that costs money. So if we're talking about, let's say, going to Italy next year, that's a $5,000 trip. Now let's start thinking, well, how much am I going to earn between now and then? And how much do I need to save between now and then? Because I may not necessarily need to save all of the money, but I do need to have some of it, right?
Yeah.
So what a plan does is it helps us see that. And then I use technology to help keep people on track. So my clients, when they walk in here and somebody walks in, they're like, so Bill, why do I need to do this? I can pull up their plan. I can show them, here's where you currently sit, right? Here's
yeah.
all your bank accounts. Here's your investments. Here are your credit cards. Here are your liabilities. If you want to do X, I need to show you Y. Right.
Yeah.
And then so I basically do it that way. And then at the end of the day, they walk away knowing that if nothing else, I can provide them with a glide path. I can provide them with a roadmap that's structured around what they want to do. And that tends to motivate them to take action. That applies to both businesses and families and individuals.
I bet your days are interesting because I can't even imagine the quadrillions of variables that are thrown in your wet path on any yeah. given person's plan, right?
Yeah. I mean, the variables are through the roof,
yeah.
right? The variables are through the roof. Here's the interesting thing about that, though, Joshua. The variables are through the roof, but the processes tend to stay similar.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's first and foremost behavior, right? So what behaviors am I doing to kind of get me where I need to go?
Mm-hmm.
The other part is technical. Am I making enough money in the first place to do what I want to do, right? If I'm not making enough money, I mean, you can't get water or blood from a turnip. What's the saying go? I don't know. I need some.
I believe you. I don't know, man.
It's something like that. I haven't tried. We might need to get a turnip press.
Yeah, we'll get a turnip and we'll come back and re-record that part.
Yeah. But the variables are through the roof, but the processes tend to stay the same. You know, save, spend less than you make, diversify your income, focus on growth, and then plan for the things that are important. I mean, we can do that, and hedge against the things that you can't protect, right?
Right.
So we can't control death, disability, disease, sometimes old age. Oftentimes I put divorce in that picture, right? People separate, people get divorced.
Yeah.
But what we can do is we can say, well, if that's my goal, let me cover these steps and I can build a plan to get there.
And even though the process is the same, I see, like, just talking with you before recording and while we're recording, I see your value because it's the knowledge they're paying for of your expertise of navigating them through. Cause like I said, the reason why where my apathy comes from is the ignorance, or being intimidated rather. Like, it's not that I'm necessarily ignorant to what I need to do as much as it can be overwhelming. So your value is that your advocacy for your clients.
Absolutely. Helping them find out what they want to do in the first place, right? When I was 20, the first time I had real money in my bank account, which came, you know, came from my deployment, the reason I had money was because I had nowhere to spend it. I mean, what are you?
You're deployed.
Yeah. I'm deployed. I can't just go to the neighborhood Best Buy and go buy a 60-inch television,
I
would have done. I promise you. I absolutely promise you. And they, at that point in time, they were 6 inches thick. That's a flat screen to me when I was a kid, you know. And I would have done that, right? Now my goals are a little bit clearer. I'm a little bit older. And you don't have to be older, but sometimes you need someone else to help you see what that is, right? If I would have had someone sit down and say, hey, Bill, you're going to be going back to college. One of the things you need to think about is how are you going to pay for it, right? I probably would have saved some of that money and paid for it then. Maybe I didn't need a brand new car, or maybe I didn't need to pay cash for a car, right?
Yeah.
Because interest rates at that point in time were really, really low. And if I would have known that, that would have been a better use of my money.
Yeah.
Right?
Hindsight.
Hindsight's always 20/20.
So you're there to stop people from having to say, hindsight.
Yeah. Sure. That's the word they use.
Oh gosh. I can't even imagine. So tell me this then. I mean, obviously we're not going to try to throw any of your potential clients under the bus, but do you prefer, like, or do you find even more joy in working with younger people to help? You know, because I'm sure you've had clients that regardless of age come in that are in dire need of a planner as opposed to being proactive. Do you find joy though in those of the people that come proactively wanting a planner? Like, look, I can't afford to mess this up. I'm about to go to college. I'm 19 or whatever. And I really need to make sure that I don't mess up my financial life this early on.
I got to tell you, there's a special place in my heart for younger people that are willing to take that step, right? And oftentimes it's, you know, a parent or somebody that pushes them in. I have a young client now, female. Her parents were my clients first. And then I remember when she was in high school, her and her sister were in high school. And her parents wanted me to come over and sit down and talk with the girls because my packages is for families, mm-hmm. right? They wanted me to come over and talk to their daughter about the cost of going to college out of state versus in state. And I was still, you know, pretty new at this advice thing. I was confident. I knew what I was saying. I had all of the math done. I go over to her house and we're sitting there on the couch, the two girls, they're junior and senior in college. And the parents were okay either way. They just wanted them to know the math. And the girls sit down in front of me. And I start going through the math
mm-hmm.
and I start saying, are you sure you want to be going to the school up here? You know, let's call it Connecticut. All right. And you want to be this far away from family. It's not even that your major can be done anywhere, but here's what it's going to cost you. Here's everything. Within 10 minutes, she's bawling her eyes out, just crying. I mean, tears coming from her face. She was like, but that's where I want to go to school. Yeah. And my parents promised it. And you're like, I can't believe it. I can't go to school. Yes. Yeah. I felt terrible. I felt horrible, right? And, you know, she gets up and she leaves. And her parents were like, thank you.
No, but you're right. They could have said what you said all day and it not click.
And it didn't click.
Yeah, because that's just that whole rebellious parent-kid dynamic. Yeah.
This fight, this frustration. Now, fast forward a couple of years. As they're going through school, parents are still clients of mine. Mm-hmm. She stays in state. Okay. And she decides to stay in state. She graduates. She goes to one of our local colleges nearby. And I'm meeting with her throughout. Mm-hmm. She graduates. She's now graduated. And she's starting her first real career. And she's actively seeking me out on her own. Right? She says, hey, Bill, I want to work with you. Here are some of the things that we're focusing on. I want to make sure I have money to move, get married, and I want to be able to do this on my own.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, it put such a smile on my face because I just wish I would have had that, yeah. You know, at that age. And I love the fact that she's doing that on her own. I mean, not being pushed or anything. Yep. She's
understanding. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When it clicks, right?
When it clicks. Absolutely.
That $1 million moment. No pun intended. No dollar value. You know what I mean? Yeah, though? It's like priceless. That priceless
it's
moment.
Priceless. It's like the MasterCard commercial, except, you know, without the fees.
No, I totally did. I know what you mean. Yeah. I'm with the majority of people listening who know they need a planner, but think we can do it on our own. But I am fortunate enough. My pop raised me on a guy named Clark Howard, which is a radio guy. And I think he's got to be old.
This is why you're doing this.
Yeah.
He is the motivation behind.
Exactly. Clark is the man.
Yeah.
And he's got to be old as dirt, but he looks like he's in his 30s still.
He does.
But either way, so I am eternally grateful, you know, telling my dad now, I'm in my early 30s, but I've told him throughout my 20s, hey, dude, thank you so much for caring enough to get me like a Clark Smart for Kids book.
Yeah.
Because that totally put things into perspective that I wouldn't have had. You know, when I was in like high school, I had a manual labor job, earned more money than I'd ever made before. In a summer, and then I blew it all on stereo equipment and video games. And the stereo equipment went down when I wrecked the vehicle that I had installed it in.
Yeah.
And the video games obviously aren't forever. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here like, oh, that was stupid. I'm glad I lived with my parents and could afford to do that. But when that moment clicks, man, that's a powerful thing, I bet.
It's a great thing, especially when clients don't always follow the advice, right? Sometimes it takes some time, right? You have to repeat it a time or two. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. Ah, that sounds like a great idea, but really, I just don't want to do it, right?
Yeah.
For example, with life insurance, and I am a proponent of buying term, right? I think buying term is a smart choice for most people. Very few situations ever require anything else. But when you get a situation where you, let's say you do need a whole life plan, or an individual comes down with cancer and we sat down 2, 3, 6 months earlier and I said, look, this is an aspect of your plan that you need. You need to go contact your insurance agent and put that in place because we don't sell insurance here.
Right.
And they're like, I really don't want to do that. I'm like, I understand that, but trust me, it's important. As a matter of fact, come into my office, bring your agent, whoever that person is, we'll get the paperwork done and we'll get you set up. Okay, we'll get that done. Or going through work. Should I really participate in my 401k? I need that money to pay my bills. Listen, James, what we're going to do is I'm going to show you the math on it, and then I'm going to show you how it doesn't really hurt your paycheck to take a little bit out and put it into the 401k. 2 or 3 months after starting the 401k, hey, Bill, how's the 401k going? I wish I would have started that 10 years ago. It was so much easier.
Yeah.
Or the life insurance case. Oh, just found out I have cancer. I wouldn't have been
would have left my family in debt or whatever. Would have
left my family in debt, right? And so those are those moments where it's really gratifying,
right?
Or when the client finally actually retires and they're like, "Hey, Bill, I'm retired. Now what?"
go spend your money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm assuming you still help him at that part. Like,
absolutely.
Hey, you're retired. You know, really in retirement is when they probably need you even more, right? Because
in retirement, I am finding that I have to tell my clients to spend their money.
Really?
Yeah.
You've taught them to be such penny pushers, and now they're
so structured and putting savings away. I'm like, look, you're going to die with a crap ton of money in the bank.
But the government's going to get a huge percentage of when you croak.
Government's going to get a nice chunk of it, and then your kids are going to spend it. Is that really what you want? Yeah. You want your kids spending your hard-earned money?
I don't want my kids spending my money, that's for sure. I'm kidding, honey. I love y'all, both of you.
You know, I tell them, in my case, you know, I've got three kids, another one on the way. We know what causes that now. It's the water.
It is the water. Yeah, yeah. I do have one on the way as well. Yeah,
yeah, congratulations.
Likewise, yeah.
I said, kids graduate, they're out of the house, they're out to college, we are selling the house, we're buying a Winnebago, and we're driving cross country, right? Awesome. Or an RV. I'd like an RV because those things are awesome. You can do so much in an RV now. Yeah. So much.
They're so expensive, but like you said, if you're planning for it.
If I'm planning for it, I know it. Oh, I know it. So that if the kids want to come back and visit, great. We're out in Yosemite National Park. We might get a condo in Florida or somewhere.
Yeah,
you know, one bedroom, right? So that they can't stay with us. They have to go stay at the Hilton down the street. Yeah. Come and visit.
Come visit, but don't stay long.
Don't stay long. Because mommy and daddy are enjoying our life. Now.
Oh, I love it. Hey, all right. So people listening in the show that are going to want more information, what are some means of contact? And like, where are you? Like Facebook, Twitter, your website, email, phone number, anything that you want to leave so people can get more info?
Absolutely. So I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. You can find my Facebook page and my Twitter page at MySFGAdvisor, A-D-V-I-S-O-R. My personal Twitter handle, which is fine, is Bill Simonet. So B-I-L-L-S-I-M-O-N-E-T. Also, of course, my website, simonetfinancial.com, S-I-M-O-N-E-T-F-I-N-A-N-C-I-A-L.com. You can always pick up the phone and call me, do it the old fashioned way, 512-296-8962. And you can also text that as well.
So, you'd be surprised. People love contacting by phone still, I've noticed. Like for me, my business, or for a lot of businesses that I have here on the show, I always make sure they drop the phone number because a lot of people like talking, like they want to vet you by it's easier to vet someone in a conversation through vocal than it is through text.
The first two conversations. So the phone conversation, I'll have that all day.
Yeah.
The in-office conversation works out great as well. But after that, especially with my younger clients, I get text messages. They just start texting, "Hey, Bill, where are we?"
You mean when you're at that friend status already?
Good. Yeah. At that point, they love me. Hey, we're doing this. Some of my older clients would kind of do a little bit of the same things.
Yes.
Actually, some of my older clients text more than some of my younger clients, right?
That's awesome.
And the business owners, I love my business owners. They are email and phone all day. Yeah. So it's
we're tethered to our devices.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill, thank you so much for doing this, man. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a great time, and I'm definitely looking forward to doing this with you again.
Absolutely. Thanks. And that will do it for this episode of the Kyle Life Podcast. If you'd like more information on Simonet Financial, check out their website at www.simonetfinancial.com or call them at 512-296-8962. For KyleLife.com and the Pearl Media Network, I'm Joshua Steubing. Thank you for listening.